You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We have on the line with us, and on any other perhaps day, I would be jealous that Sam Panionovich has gone off to spring training, but it's actually been a beautiful day in Chicago, so I feel all right about it. But Sam P, how are you doing?
I'm on top of the mountain, Patty. I'm on top of a mountain in Phoenix, literally.
Oh, well, it's beautiful. I will say that the skyline, the sunsets there are really staggeringly beautiful.
I heard it was like 75 degrees in Chicago.
It was beautiful. Ah, oh, kids across the street from me were there's the park right there, and they're pulling out the soccer, you know, the goal posts, and it was just fun to watch everybody out in the park. I saw one guy taking his dog out there to train him, you know, just watching him do that. It was a lot of fun.
I played tennis 2 days in a row.
There you go.
I feel like Mark Carmen.
You do.
Yeah.
You look like Mark Carmen.
That was offensive, I think.
No, it was not offensive at all.
It felt
no,
like
you
a
seem,
compliment when she said it.
No, you seem pumped. You seem excited about tennis.
Yeah, right.
Sam P, what are you doing out in the training camp world?
Oh, it's a double-folded issue, actually. My brother is actually pitching for the White Sox this spring training.
I just learned this today. You've never talked about this. Panionovich, what's your brother's full name?
His full name is Adam Nicholas Panionovich. His social security number is...
Excellent. His address, yes.
He played at St. Francis in Joliet. He was an All-American in the NAIA, and the Sox gave him a crack here. He reported on March 4th. So my dad and I are down here checking out his first week of camp, and
awesome.
He's going to start throwing some games next week. And, of course, I can also double as a WGN reporter, which I do from time to time. And, you know, Cubs and Sox are both here in Arizona. It's about a 30-minute drive from Mesa to Glendale. So it was a Sox camp today, Cubs camp tomorrow. The Cubs and Sox actually play on Saturday, so... There's plenty to do here, but I was a proud brother today, first and foremost.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I mean, all right, let's talk about your brother for a minute, for more than a minute. So how old was your brother when he started playing Little League Baseball?
Little League? Probably 8 years old.
Okay. So he wasn't playing T-ball. He started right when they were throwing it, right?
Oh, yeah, and he was always, you know, it was funny because when we were growing up, he was always the youngest kid when we played at the park. And he would always get picked last. And lo and behold, he goes the farthest. And, you know, he's got a White Sox uniform on in Arizona. And he's a hardworking kid, throws a lot of strikes. You know, his diet is off the charts, and he works hard.
What do you mean by his diet's off the charts?
Oh, the kid doesn't put anything in his body that has any fat in it. It's ridiculous.
So he's a little bit annoying to be around at the cafeteria.
He's crazy when it comes to his regimens, but it paid off.
Is he doing anything like Arrieta, where he's doing like a Pilates or yoga, a little downward facing dog?
He doesn't do Pilates, but do you know those like resistance ropes that when you get in the gym and you have like like your body weight is controlling everything you do and you like rip those ropes? He does those like underwater in a pool.
Ooh.
So it's pretty intense, but I mean, you have to be that way. You got to find your own niche, and you got to drive it home.
Right, whatever works for you. Is he a lefty or a righty?
He's a right-handed pitcher. He's about 6 foot, about 190 pounds. Throws about 92 miles an hour.
Nice.
Can you give us a full scouting report, Sam?
Full scouting report. Great hair.
You always got to start with the hair.
It runs in the family.
You know, no, this is so funny. So. There are like six fields at Camelback Ranch in Glendale because the Sox split the facility with the Dodgers. So you're walking around, and remember, it's the White Sox, and then they have six minor league teams. So there's some duplicate numbers, to say the least. So Adam's wearing number 74. And my dad and I are looking around, and we're trying to find 74. And my dad goes, there he is. And he points to the guy who's wearing 74 in the distance. So we walk up, and I'm like, Dad, that guy's black. Was not my brother.
No.
Well, the weather is quite a bit warmer out there. You never know what the tan can
get. There are multiple, just so you know, there are multiple number 74s at White Sox spring training.
Okay. That's got to feel a little bit generic when you get your jersey and you're like 74 and they have a little number that says the third, fourth.
Yeah, somebody was wearing 93. I'm like, ugh. Jeez,
that's
like, have to piss off to get 93.
Oh my god! Well, how many pitchers? How many pitchers do they have? I mean, basically, like, what does it take to pare down for your brother to make the final cut? I mean, I know that's probably a bigger question than.
Well, the major league roster has 25 players, and then the AAA roster has the same, and then there's AA, there's Advanced A, there's A, there's Low A, and there's Rookie A. So He's probably trying. He's actually playing with the Kannapolis Intimidators. That's an A-League team for the Sox. They're based in North Carolina. That's probably his goal, to try and strike it in the lower ranks. And, you know, once you get a roster spot there, you just keep churning and churning and try and keep moving up that ladder. But baseball is probably the toughest sport to crack because once you do get a shot, you have to prove yourself at so many different levels. Yeah. So it's complicated.
So, of course, you've thought about this, Sam. When your brother does make it to the major leagues and signs his first big contract, what are you asking him to buy you?
I'm just asking for a loan, cash.
Nice. Yeah, smart man. Make your own investments.
No, it's funny. When I first started at WGN, that was his freshman year at St. Francis. And for Father's Day, we had somebody take a picture of my brother and myself standing on his college field behind home plate, like it's like a mock interview picture. We're going to try and recreate that sometime this week with my actual WGN flag and his White Sox uniform. So keep that on the down low, but that's the plan for Father's Day this year.
Okay, no, I think it's a good idea to share that on WGN radio.
Kind of
make sure you don't put that in the podcast. Could you cut that from the live
Nobody
stream?
Nobody tell Sam's dad. Everyone's in the trust tree.
So what's the excitement like down there now? I mean, there's so much excitement for both teams respectively here in Chicago. What's the energy like down there?
It's pretty intense. You know, the Cubs on the other side of town, they're the World Series favorites. And when that happens, what can go wrong? Pretty much everything.
Right.
Especially if you're a Cubs fan. So, you know, the Cubs are, you know, projected to win about 91, 92 games. The White Sox are in Vegas listed as 80 wins, like an 80-win team. But I've heard them projected from as high as first to as low as last. So there's a lot of hype. Obviously, the Cubs, as Patty knows, were on that huge run last year to the NLCS. And they retooled this roster, added a lot of pieces. That's the hype machine, though. You know, the Cubs are the team that's expected to go to the World Series this year. And anything less of that, to be honest, is a failure in a lot of people's eyes. The White Sox, on that side of the coin, a lot of reshaping on their roster as well. They've got a lot of hitters. I mean, they've hit 12 home runs in six games. Mm. They haven't hit 12 home runs, I think, in a spring training in 10 years. So there's lots of offense. There's lots of excitement. And you know, I think there's a lot of people that think the Cubs are going to have a much better season, but don't sleep on the Southsiders. They got a good offense. A lot of guys had really bad seasons last year, and you would expect just the regression to actually bounce back and have a decent season. So I think you're exciting. I think you're going to have a good season on both sides of town coming into the Chicago baseball season.
I'm just excited because I realize we're less than a month away from opening day. This is crazy. I mean, I just got the goosebumps because it's exciting when baseball starts. It's, I don't know, it's just magic in Chicago, even if it goes badly.
Where is your Cubs jersey right now, Patty? You know where it is?
I do, actually. I saw it today. I thought about I'm wearing a Blackhawks shirt, but I actually thought about wearing it out. I went to Nick D's movie club tonight at the Movie Co. We saw the thing, and it's funny you ask because I was going to grab my Cubs jersey, the one that I wore when I got to sing the seventh inning stretch, the one that I sang that no one heard. It's okay. That's all right. First time in the history of the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley that nobody actually heard it broadcast. It's all right. But, yes, I know exactly where it is, and my Cubs hat, too.
I was there for that anthem. It was riveting.
It was the silence.
Sam, it was amazing. You looked up and you could see all three of them screaming, but there was no audio whatsoever coming from any of that.
It was honestly the best one I never heard.
Yeah.
I think that it was appropriate. I mean, of course no one could hear us. It's exactly what should have happened.
Well, baseball is a superstitious sport, so they better make sure the audio is right this year.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever have that opportunity again, but I think there's only one person that has that audio, and that's Scott Miller, who left WGN with Pete McMurray. So perhaps, I don't know. I don't know if I want to hear it. Mostly you hear me like not, because I knew the moment we opened our mouths that there was no, the mics were not on. So I thought they were going to let us start again. So those two guys were like off and running, and I thought, well, any minute now they're going to give us it. No, that was it.
I just remember being in the back of the press box, and I think you were in the middle of the three, right?
Yes.
And you guys were singing, and the mics weren't picking up your guys' voices, and I was in the back row of that box, and you just kind of like gingerly looked over your right shoulder and were like, what do I do?
You know? Exactly. That's exactly what I was doing. I was looking around like, a little help, anybody? A little help? No? A little tech? Got something. My mic's not on. I was afraid maybe I'd push something. Like Todd and I are sitting here, and you know, whenever something happens, we both look around like someone push a button. That's how I felt. It was very strange. But anyway, so what? How are they doing in the this little preseason romp?
Well, the Sox are 4-1-1. The Cubs have actually only won one game in seven tries. But, I mean, you could throw these records away in Arizona. They really don't really mean that much. It's about trying to formulate what your lineups and your rotations are going to be. So you could take these records with a grain of salt. The big story out of Cubs camp, though, is Jake Arrieta, who won the Cy Young Award last year. They're trying to extend him to a long-term contract, and that's the right move, as everybody right. in Chicago should understand. He's under team control through 2017, and Theo Epstein, the Cubs president, actually talked today about trying to extend him long-term. There aren't any talks at the moment, but here's a guy who was acquired from Baltimore for pretty much, you know, a pack of gum and a bag of peanuts a couple years ago.
Right.
So the plan for this season, I think at some point during the season, Scott Boras, Jake Arrieta's agent, and the Cubs brass will sit down, and they're going to try and keep Jake Arrieta through probably 2020.
Sure.
So that's probably the thing to look out for this year. But like I said, the Cubs are World Series favorites, Patty. I mean, did you think that would be the case 5 years ago? I would have gone crazy.
No, I agree. It's astounding. Before we let you go, I want to know, I've heard a lot about the new fields there for the Cubs and the White Sox. Like, all the, you know, the beer tents or beer, like, gardens, and the food is supposed to be really great. How does it compare to what you've seen before?
Way more expensive. And when I say that, it's because if you think about the relative prices for a ticket, if you go to Wrigley, you know, your average ticket is going to cost you probably like 60 or 70 bucks. A ticket at Sloan Park in Mesa is like 20. How do they make that up? They charge you 15 bucks for a hot dog.
Right.
$9 for a beer, you know?
Oh, man.
A bottle of water is like $7 now.
No.
Oh, yeah. You have to bring a flask of water just to hydrate. I mean, it's so crazy.
Is that what
they're
calling
that now? Up and you're like, what can I get? Oh, let me get a super rope. Oh, $5 for a super rope for a piece of licorice. So the facilities are nice, and there's a Portillo's now at Sloan Park, the Cubs camp, so that makes people feel like home.
Nice.
But
sure.
Prices continue to raise up.
Mm-hmm. I actually had Portillo's tonight. Craig said no to Portillo's. I know, you were full.
I'm not going to live this down, am I?
I
literally ate right before I got here.
I still have Chinese food.
For Chicago dog.
Yeah, I always got a room. Have you gotten your Portillo's on in Arizona, Sam?
I have not, but here's the better question. Is Portillo's fast food, yes or no?
Yes, it's fast.
No,
of course it's fast food.
Not.
Why not?
It's definitely fast food. There's a drive-thru.
Not only that, but like, you walk up to a counter, you give your order, and you walk over, you step over to another register and grab your food. You don't sit down. They don't have a server.
The quality, the speed is not fast. You can be in line all day at that Portillo's at that drive-thru.
It's because you go at the wrong time.
Is that right?
But for the quality of the food, it's only because there's so many people in front of you, it's still fast food.
I'm waiting to see the first animal that Joe Maddon, Cubs manager, brings to camp. Mm-hmm. You know, he famously brings all these, like, circus animals to town. Today they had an electric guitarist playing.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Joe Maddon just stopped him cold. Sam was about to tell us what was going on.
By the way, do you know what? Sam just did a patty, which is like the best way to hang up on somebody is to do it while you're talking. More after this on 720 WTN. It's none of your business. I like saying stuff like that. That's two nights in a row of some good 80s jams, I guess.
Yeah,
a little In Vogue, a little Salt and Pepper.
Early 90s.
Is it? Okay. Is it early 90s?
It is.
When was It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right? It Takes Two to Make...
That was 90s as well.
Okay. I don't think either one of you are right. I'm going to go ahead and say 90s.
Like
I think En Vogue, yes, early 90s.
That was 88, the last one.
With
it
Salt and Pepper?
It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right.
Okay. How about Salt and Pepper? It's None of Your Business.
That's the 90s.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
1993, specifically.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Esmeralda. Schooling me on that. Actually, Todd would like to school the governor on... he's like, why are you talking about like that?
That's rough instruction.
Okay. Here's what happened. The Democrats, the House of Representatives, have been dismissed for the rest of March. That's it. They've gone home. They're not going to do any more business. The senators are still down there. They'll be going back and forth every week. Is it because the House of Representatives, every seat is up for grabs?
I think that's part of it, but generally they are released for the holidays, Easter and things like that.
Which is in 3 weeks, my friend.
That's right. Okay. So it's part of it. So the fact that this is election time, and if possible the fact that there's holidays, I think that adds to it. But I think the governor's
Easter's on a Sunday. How do you get? Who gets a whole week for Easter?
What is
who
gets a whole 2 weeks for Easter? And all. Well, let me say it this way.
Can we get the sound of a baby crying?
There's Holy Thursday and
Good Friday.
Yeah,
but they always then the day in between get a break. Okay, and so I think and the governor always
do
also,
we get a break from their their ridiculousness? Okay.
But the governor also has the authority to call a special session.
And so why is he making it sound like the House of Representatives is being a bunch of babies? It's
that's,
just more
that's
plays
just
better?
That's the nature of the political climate right now. Right. If they had been in town, he had said something like, well, I don't know why they're not taking a break. It's a holiday season.
Right.
They should be taking breaks. So I think the truth of the matter is the gridlock is so significant that everyone's looking for some little way to get a leg up on the other.
All right. So they're all just being they're all being political. They're all just playing that game. All right. I wanted to it was International Women's Day. Craig, what did you do to celebrate International Women's Day?
Nothing.
That's okay. Esmeralda, how did you celebrate your International Women's Day?
I did my taxes so I can get my money.
I like it. Taking care of business.
Y'all,
all right,
y'all
then.
Better throw I love you, Ma, in there or something.
I love you, Ma. I posted a picture. Oh, yeah. I posted a picture on Facebook page. That's how I celebrated. I also came across a story. We've talked about this before. I started working on a piece in college. I wanted to do a dissertation on the female pilots who flew during World War II. They were part of a group called the WASPs. Just this week, the other day, a woman named Elizabeth Betty Wall Strophus passed away at the age of 96. She was born in 1919. And she flew during World War II. Her father died in 1940, and she was working and had to give all of her money to her mom. So the only way she could raise money to join an aviation club called the Sky Club, she needed $100, but she was only making $50 a month. So she used her bicycle as collateral to secure a loan. Can you imagine coming into the bank? I mean, they had to have been nice to her, but like,
incredible.
It's okay, we'll take your bike and give you some collateral for that. She paid her membership fee and began flight lessons once the war started. She joined the Civil Air Patrol, and she found out that the Air Force was seeking female pilots because so many men obviously were being trained for combat. Out of 25,000 applicants, she was one of only 1,800 who were accepted, and she was one of 1,074 who graduated.
That's incredible.
Isn't that amazing? She flew the BT-19, the PT-17, the BT-13, and the AT-6. She also flew the B-17 Flying Fortress and the B-26 Marauder. She would tow targets. We talked about this, Craig, where I told you they would fly parachutes. They would drag nylon behind them, huge parachutes, and this is how a lot of the soldiers were learning infantry and shooting at planes from the ground.
Hmm.
Yeah, so this was not for play. This was for reals. She was actually convinced she was going to leave. She was going to get married and resign from the Air Force. And her commander was actually expressed regret that she would be leaving. He convinced her to stay and actually expanded her responsibilities in order to convince her to stay. So she flew. Actually, here she got in trouble for buzzing the tower. Maybe this is how they
Top Gun.
Yeah, she went a little Top Gun on them.
She's original Maverick.
Yeah, she had to. She was also a refueler. And yeah, she flew missions to Indian Springs to help train infantry gunners. She had to sign a piece of paper that said she would not fly under 500 feet, but she thought it said 50. That's how she ended up buzzing the tower.
Yeah.
She was not able to fly after World War II. The WASPs were disbanded. The Women Air Force Service Pilots was disbanded in December of 1944. And she was unable to secure a pilot's job after that because what happened was all the men came back.
Yeah,
in 1944.
Discrimination happened.
Well, they, in 1944, they actually, Time magazine did a big piece on the WASPs. And that was when a lot of people realized, oh, why are these women getting these jobs that are safer and at home when all of our men are being shipped overseas and dying? So there was a big outcry. And that was kind of part of the pressure that led to the end of the WASPs. At the time, women who died in training were not given military deaths and military burials. They were basically sent home in pine boxes. 19 women died during World War II in service. service to the United States Air Force. And we just learned recently that they are also being turned away when they die. They're not being buried at Arlington Cemetery, even though they've been given that right in the last 20 years. So we hope that her family, this is again, Betty Strophus, who passed away at the age of 96. And we honor her on International Women's Day. Yes, Craig?
Oh, that was great.
I just think that I don't know who we should talk to about Arlington Cemetery and allowing the women of the WASPs and also the WAVES. They were women who served in the Navy as well during World War II. They were not recognized by the United States military until the 1970s.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's a cause that everyone should be taking up, no matter what party or belief.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we also have that story from China, Craig, where apparently this is the one day that men put on some gear and they let their husbands, their wives, the men let their wives just punch them.
And this is because?
It's International Women's Day.
Right.
To atone for previous grievances throughout the year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But how about no punching? How about no encouraging?
I like that plan.
How about the men just treat them right?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
How about no grievance? How about you just talk things out and mm-hmm. say that you were a jerk yesterday? Don't be a jerk tomorrow.
Yeah. I like all that stuff.
How about maybe I was a bitch yesterday. How about I not be a bitch tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
He said too quickly.
There. I know.
We're agreeing
with
each
other. It's not anything personal on the show. Yeah, well, you were saying that, I'm sorry, Stephanie Menendez was saying that she has traveled to China before and was surprised at, any time you travel somewhere else, you do experience cultural differences and
right.
go, huh, that's how they do things here.
There was a weird story out of China specifically, I think it was a couple months ago, that said that if someone hits a pedestrian with a car, the typical practice in China is to back up and hit them again to kill the person, because if you injure someone you can be sued for that, but if the person dies you can get away with it.
Yeah, so you're better off.
And so this happens a lot.
And do you then drive off, or do you report that you have finished the job?
No.
I don't understand.
Because you can still get in trouble but there's no cameras or anything. They wouldn't use anything. They just dispose of a dead body left on the side of the road, apparently. This is all what this report says.
I don't understand.
So yeah. The only way to be tried and convicted of any of this is for the person to live and then...
Press charges. Oh, and then testify that you did that to them.
Correct.
Did I ever tell you that there was a friend of mine...
They still have a smaller prison population than we do.
Because they back over people. I don't understand.
It's so when you told us that story... It doesn't really compare, but it was just another kind of odd story.
Lack of regard somehow for humanity, it seems.
Right.
Although I have a friend who was living in Los Angeles, and he had the driver. The way he described her was of Asian background, but he was crossing the street. She hit him. He flipped over the hood onto the windshield, and he got the sense that she was going to back over him while he was lying in the sidewalk on the pavement. And so he had to roll onto the so my guess is that she was coming for him and she just drove off, and he never was able to. He has never recovered from that the injuries of that accident.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He's had significant that's so I don't get the hitting somebody and taking off.
It's scary because that story, when it came out, there actually were a couple videos of like street cams and stuff, and you actually see people getting hit by cars and then the car backing up.
Man.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
That's a really, really intense story.
Happy Women's Day.
Yeah, how did we get on this?
We were talking about China our topics for the day.
Yeah.
We were talking.
We got to wake up Marcus Leshock soon and tell him what we talked about.
We do have to. But so International Women's Day to round out it marks the plight and achievements of women for more than a century. I just don't, how do I always forget? Esmeralda, did you know today was International Women's Day?
I did because of Google.
Oh, right, because it has
Google animation.
It gave you the big reminder.
And Facebook.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of people and stuff.
I put we're all Wonder Women, so it's women in Wonder Woman costumes of all different sizes and abilities. Nice. So that was mine. It was set up, the idea of advancing women's suffrage through a day to mark women's enormous contribution to, I guess we have some contributions to humankind. We do all right when it comes to that.
You're responsible for everyone who's here.
Is that right? It was.
Women have the babies, not the men.
Pretty much. I mean, Although I do find it, I was saying that a friend of mine, the couple is pregnant. When I always say that they're having a baby, so I include the man in that sort of scenario.
That's awfully nice of you.
We add a part of the process. We do something.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't be completely uninvolved.
We do all the grunt work, though. I'm gonna carry that thing for 9 months. I've never had to, but it looks pain. It just doesn't look comfortable.
We're all hanging on the word grunt.
I wasn't saying we're competing here. I'm just saying that guys aren't completely uninvolved.
Okay, now I know that this doesn't seem like it's related, but it just occurs to me that I came up with an idea today. We're trying to figure out how to top the last two gay pride parade entries that we had with WGN Radio. 2 years ago, gay marriage became legal in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So WGN, we actually had several of our hosts where they were ordained ministers, and they married couples on our float. Wow. Last year, we had the Stanley Cup on our float, which was huge. Wow. I mean, people were lining up. And I don't think we can marry couples on top of the Stanley Cup. So that would be I don't know how you top it. But I was wondering, because the theme this year is solidarity. I'm putting this out there. This is my idea. I don't mind that I'm putting it on the air. I was wondering if we could invite families of gay couples, so that if they have adopted a child, if their parents support them, I think that would be a great way to show solidarity, is inviting some families. But that's my idea. So I'm just putting it out there, because I tried emailing it to Jackie and it bounced back. So this was my putting it out there.
I will edit this and send it to Jackie.
I also have an idea for the graphic, but that's, I'll figure that out.
Also,
later.
Maybe have different, transgender and,
yes.
and just all the different labels that are out now.
Exactly.
Gender fluid, and just because solidarity.
We're both squinting at gender fluid just because it could be messy. More after this on 720 WGN. Craig. Let's see what happens. Last night, Marcus LeShock said that he sent us a message saying that he missed our call, Esmeralda. He said the phone was on the floor and he had it on vibrate, so that's probably why he didn't hear it. I'm guessing maybe it vibrated off the nightstand.
Was he stepping on it?
I can't hear anything. I can't hear anything. So we have. So we are calling Marcus right now. That's his phone. It's ringing. We'll see if we get Marcus or if we go to voicemail. Was it about a 4 or 5 minute voicemail last night?
I believe it was like 4 minutes, yeah.
We gave him a whole...
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Marcus LeShock, how are you doing?
Is that weird?
Oh, this is Marcus. This is waking
up. How am I doing?
How are you doing?
Hey,
wakey, Marcus. Wakey, wakey. That's annoying, isn't it? What's the best way to wake up a Marcus LeShock? Are you like to be sung to? Do you want a little wham? Wake me up before you go, go. Hi, Marcus.
Usually it's just like...
Oh, we could do that. Hold on a second. We have that kind of noise. We are very grateful that you're allowing us to wake you up. Is this usually about when you wake up to get ready for WGN Morning News?
What time is it?
It is 7 minutes until 2 a.m.
Oh.
You had 7 more minutes to go, didn't you? Should we have called closer to 2?
Yeah, that's fine.
You're welcome, Marcus.
You're welcome. Is that
a whole lot of multi-alarm sounds all happening at once.
That sounds great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks
for that.
Should we do a few quiz questions for you to make sure that you're awake, or are you going to try to lay down for another 5 minutes?
No, that's fine.
All right. So what should we start with? We'll just do some easy ones. What's 4 plus 4?
8.
That was a long delay. What is the name of the governor of Illinois?
Bruce Rauner.
Oh, that's wow! First name too. That's very good. Esmeralda, do you have any questions for him? Let's see.
What are you going to have for breakfast?
Nice.
What am I getting for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, let me think. I don't know. Probably a bagel or something.
Very good, Todd Belcore. You have a question?
Who won the Democratic primary today in Michigan?
He just woke up.
Last time I went to bed, Bernie was who ended up winning.
That's right.
Bernie Sanders won. Bernie Sanders won Michigan.
He won. Wow, that's a pretty big upset, I think, wasn't it?
Look at
huge.
That.
It's a huge upset.
Look at that. You woke him up with a huge primaries question.
Intuition.
There you go. Craig, did you have a question for him?
Yes, Marcus.
Hey, who won Hawaii? That's what I want to know. Is that still going on?
Oh, now we have to Google. Go ahead, Craig. You asked your question.
My question is, Marcus, did you eat Patty's bacon on Sunday?
did I what?
I will go ahead and ask the question again.
Patty was talking the whole time. I was just staring at her bacon.
Yeah, I knew you were making eyes at her bacon. Did you actually get any of her bacon in your mouth?
No, I didn't.
Oh, we were convinced that I had shared my... I'm sorry, I should have offered you some of my bacon.
No, and she was very rude because she was just talking and was just sitting there. And I'm like, is she going to offer that to me? Or
you're right.
Not?
I mean, that was really a really odd moment.
Everyone was eating
sure.
my tater tots, that's for sure.
Trump, by the way, won the Hawaii caucus.
Oh, wow.
Democratic is not until the 26th.
You should eat a pile of bacon today just to spite Patty.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Can you maybe make like a patty-shaped face on your plate of bacon and then eat the bacon? Or is that weird?
That's very weird. I don't think that's necessary at all. I don't want to know what that looks like.
He needs to Instagram that.
There you go.
Patty-shaped bacon thing.
It must be rough with everyone having so much energy and he's just waking up. Like
I know. Marcus trying to figure out how long he has to hang out for this conversation, for his wake-up call. What is the first thing? Well, he probably wants to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's the first thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning. What before we let you go, what are the plans for the WGN Morning News? Give us a little preview.
Actually, I've got a story on this. A few weeks ago, we had like a social media convention come in where like these social media stars, these like teenagers come into town. And like all the teenage kids who like follow these kids on Vine
right.
and Twitter and stuff go out and see them. So we had this kid come in, this 15-year-old, who has like 800,000 followers on Vine. It's a kid who just does these little comedy videos. And we talked to him.
Cool. What's his name?
His name's Christian Leave. You have no idea. Like, I have no idea who he is, but like, teenage girls like wait for him at the airport and everything. Like, it's like this whole other world where all these teens like follow all these kids on Vine, and they're huge stars. But for the rest of us who are, you know, old, we have no idea what's going on.
Right? Yeah, because I thought Vine went away. I guess I'm not following.
No. There's like a niche group, and like kids follow these other kids, and they're huge stars. And this kid like had to leave school and. Making money, traveling the country, doing this tour. It's crazy.
Wow. That's bizarre. Yeah. And so is Snapchat, okay, so there's Snapchat, there's Vine. Is Periscope still doing well? Because that took up too much room on my phone.
That's a question about the Periscope. I'm not sure with now like Facebook Live, where you can go live on Facebook. I'm not sure if Periscope is still like as big as it was, but I think live broadcasting and social media is like probably a big thing in the future, you know? Yeah. People, things could be headed, so we'll see.
Yeah, Annabelle Aval was actually broadcasting from an intimate store, like a lingerie store, and apparently they had a creeper, so she was doing a Facebook Live video of that. So what time is your segment coming up?
It comes up at 4:45, 5:45, and then it'll probably play also later in the morning show as well.
Well, you're welcome. We woke you up for it.
Yes, congratulations. And hey, everybody, so now you know what he sounded like when he woke up. You get to hear the progression in 2 hours. You'll be able to see him at 2 hours and 45 minutes on WGN
like
Morning
milk
News.
And honey in 2 hours. Yeah,
exactly. After his plate of bacon that's shaped like my face. Excellent.
One can only hope.
Thank you, Marcus. We will, you know, so now we have one more question before we let you go. So can we randomly be your wake-up call? You can always set your voicemail if you don't want us to talk to you. We'll give you a recap of our whole show on your voicemail.
That sounds really great.
You sound so thrilled. Thank you, Marcus Leshock. How can people follow you on Twitter and other various locations?
Just at Marcus Leshock. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/MarcusLeshock. And that's about it.
Well, we'll talk to you again soon. Don't go back to sleep. Don't go back to sleep. Stay awake.
Okay, I won't. Thank you.
All right. Good morning. Thank you so much. Wow, that was our first official wake-up call.